Jolene, 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 Jolene. Take my
money. You gotta sing it the Beyonce way now. She mourned Jolene.
Okay, you gotta help me out. You gotta help me out. Okay.
I gotta put a lyrics up because I don't 100% remember.
Yeah, I remember it.
But this, the way that Beyonce did Jolene is different because she's not being nice. She's telling her, like, stay away from my man.
Jolene. Jolene.
I don't even think the lyrics are not on here yet, but I'm sure they will be soon. They're just not there yet right now. You know, the lyric video. So there's a lyric video out about Jolene.
How did I miss that?
It's one of those things where I feel like a lot of artists actually put out like videos of all of their songs or something, like lyric videos. But Beyonce does anyway, and people don't really notice it.
Huh. Well,
Jolene. Sorry.
I know, you're fine.
She's like, Jolene, don't mess with my man or something like that. It's something like that. I'm trying to. Lord. She said, don't want no heat with me, Jolene.
Okay.
Don't want no heat with me. We've been deep in love for 20 years. I've raised that man. I've raised his kids. Oh, period. She said, I know that man better than he knows himself. Period. Oh. So this one is more like, I will fight you. And the original one by Dolly Parton is, please, please leave my man alone. But this one is like, mess with him and see what happens.
See what's gonna happen. We want the smoke.
Not the nails.
We gotta do the nails. We want the smoke.
So I feel like Jolene, God forgive me, Jolene by Dolly P is the white version. Jolene by Beyonce is the black woman. That's the acrimony version.
And
what? You're gonna love me. Sorry.
Come on now. Hi everyone. Welcome back to the Be For Real podcast. As you can hear, we're talking about Cowboy Carter. We're talking about a little bit of Jolene.
Outside.
Well, yo, I am one of your hosts. I am Kobe.
And I am Charlo, the PYT. Yes, I have a name now.
You got the whole name. I wanna love you. PYT. Pretty young thing. Children,
yes, I have a name.
Do your homework. You should know what that is.
Because I'm not going to tell you.
Okay. We ain't going to tell you. You're just going to. Actually, I think I just told them.
Yeah, but they don't know what it means. Wait, you might have. Never mind.
Yeah, I think I did. It's okay. Yeah. Well, now you know what I mean. Now do your research and try to figure out who sang that song.
And if you don't know, you live under a rock and need to be slapped.
Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Be For Real podcast. Today, like the title of this episode says, we're going to be for real about Kung Fu Panda 2. So we are going through the whole series. We're going to hit Kung Fu Panda all the way to Kung Fu Panda 4.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about us watching the TV show. I feel like that's going to be a lot.
Fear the legends of the, or is it here? The legends of the Kung Fu Panda. It's been a while. There's a
great theme song. Even though he was joking around. Fantastic theme song.
Yeah.
I feel like that one is up there with Peaches, 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 Peaches.
Let me start it. I love that song.
He was in his bag when he wrote that. He was like,
peaches, 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 peaches. That movie is so good. I don't care nobody say it was low key.
It is. Yeah. It's a good. I was getting like, so you know how when they do remakes of like cartoons into live action, or they do video games into movies, I feel as though I kind of got the nostalgia, and I kind of got the hype you get off of a reference when it's done properly. I got really happy when I saw the references in that movie to the games, because they hit Mario Kart. I feel like they hit Super Mario Bros. They kind of, what was it, Super Mario Galaxy? I feel like they were going to hit into that, but it didn't go too far into.
Yahoo! Sorry, I had to.
I'm playing with you today. I don't think that's sound effects. Luigi's Mansion too. They even talked about Luigi's Mansion. They hit King Boo, yep. Dry Bones, Koopa Troop. Like they hit a lot of stuff. So I don't know. I feel like they've done that right. So that's why, like you said, I feel like they did that right. That made me mm-hmm. happy. It's a good movie.
Yeah, they did a pretty good job. I feel like.
I'm trying to think of another movie or show that was kind of done that way. I know Halo is out right now. I've never played the Halo games.
I have, but I haven't watched the show, so I probably could tell you. I haven't played Halo in so long. I probably haven't played Halo. I probably haven't played Halo since I was a kid.
Okay. So, okay, maybe we could do that one day. Like, I'll give the, what is it, a movie? I'll give it a try. Mm-hmm. See how the movie is, and then
play the game.
I guess so. I might be playing the game, y'all.
Sidebar, you just reminded me. When I was in high school, we used to sneak and play Halo on the computers. And we weren't supposed to because my teacher, my film teacher, he said it would mess up like the hardware or whatever on the computers. So we would like play it in like photography or a video class or whatever. And he'd be like, stop playing Halo. And like my teacher, he was like a playful person. So he's just like the way he would say it, like we weren't in trouble, but we low key were. But he's like, stop playing Halo, turn it off. Like, stop doing that.
I feel like
it was fun. We was having fun.
Halo was in that same category as Webkinz, Pop Tropica, Club Penguin. It was in that. I feel like it was in the same boat of those. That was like top tier computer games, and then Webkinz trickled down. What, let me tell you something. Webkinz had a chokehold on many of us.
I couldn't give you a whole list of websites and games I used to play. Like, I miss it. Bearville was my game. It was Build-A-Bear, and it turned it into like a thing where you bring your bears to life. And I still remember my whole name on that game. My name was K2Hip1175. Period. Okay. Because I was obsessed with K names back then when I was a kid. I don't know.
It's something about us, you know? You know?
I just knew I couldn't stand my name. I just wanted something that was not close to my name. I still don't really care for my name, but hey.
Sorry. I think, trying to think what other games was. I know Disney Channel, DisneyChannel.com.
Listen.
The Impossible game, the Lilo and Stitch games, the, Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. We got a run.
That was my game. That was my game. Yes. That was that. Nick.com. Because I had a person on there. Mm-hmm. I think her name was like Chrissy. Chrissy was one of my favorite names when I was a kid. You had, oh my God, Foster's Home of Imaginary Friends, or you make your own monster on Cartoon Network. Barbie, yeah. I don't know about you, but Barbie.com for me.
Oh, I didn't even know about Barbie.
Barbie.com. I wouldn't cry thinking about it because Barbie.com, listen, I always played the babysitting game where we had to watch baby Chrissy or whatever. I was like, that's prime time right there.
I remember I had a Toontown? I believe I had a Toontown account.
Yes. Yes, I had one.
I knew people that played Wizard 1. I think it was Wizard 101, Wizard 108. I tried it. Like that.
You just reminded me. So, this game that I'm talking about is related to Wizard 101. I think it's by the same developers. But Free Realms, listen, I had lifetime membership. I went from Free Realms to IMVU and back to Free Realms like all day. Like that was, those are my games.
Those games brought, for me, it brought so much joy. It brought inner peace, I want
to
say.
It really did. I was about to say that. A lot of peace. A mess, well, for me, because IMVU is a lot of drama. It's still a thing. But those games back then, just a lot of peace.
It did. And I feel like that's the main thing that we're going to talk about when we talk about Kung Fu Panda 2. So for a backstory, just for anyone that watched the first one into this Kung Fu Panda, we talked about the last time we talked about Kung Fu Panda, it's, I do believe it's almost 20 years old. I don't like that. It's almost 20 years old.
I don't like that either. Wait, when did it come out? Like 2008, right? Or something like that?
Yeah, I believe we said 2008.
Oh, I'm about to cry.
But so this one, Kung Fu Panda 2 was released. It was released in Hollywood. Hollywood premieres on May 22nd. But to the United States, it was released on May 26th, 2011.
I see it. Yeah, Kung Fu Panda did come out in 2008, and then that one that's come out 2011. Yeah,
yeah. And this movie was directed by Jennifer. Jennifer Yeo Nelson, and it was written by Jonathan Abel and Glenn Berger. And this movie, it starred same top tier cast as the last one: Jack Black, Angelina Jolie, Dustin Hoffman, Lucy Liu, Seth Rogen, James Hong, Jackie Chan, and so many more, like, I want to say A-list stars. So DreamWorks said, hey, get back over here. We're doing this again.
Oh my God.
We're going to do it again.
Oh my God.
I don't know how you can do that. Like, I don't know how you can just have a top tier cast like that. Your movie costs so much money. Okay, so I'm going to do this for you because we did it last time. Do you want to guess how much the budget was for this movie? And I'll give you a hint. It's in the millions.
80 million. No, 100 million.
It's higher than that.
2 million. I mean, 200 million, I mean.
It's lower than that. It's actually in the middle of your two numbers. It's 150 million.
I just thought that number. I was like, 150 million?
The budget was 150 million. And then guess how much it grossed in the box office?
500 million?
You're very, very close. It was $665.7 million.
Oh, let me make a movie. Sorry, it's not gonna keep like that.
So this movie was, I want to say it was picking up off the momentum of the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I would say just between you and me watching this one, it could be a standalone watching this one. But I feel some of the plot of this movie did hinge off of the first movie, I will say.
It wasn't my favorite. I don't know if I would go back and watch it. I'm glad I watched it. I'm not gonna lie, my first time watching it was literally this week because I thought I saw it already because I saw the third one, so I just assumed I saw the second one already, but I didn't. And I'm watching it, I ain't gonna lie, like, it was making me wanting to cry a little bit.
Yeah.
I was about to cry, but I don't know if I would watch it again. The third one I would watch again, I think, because I could see our little pandas or whatever.
I feel as though, like you were saying, this one is probably the most emotional out of all four of the movies. I haven't seen the fourth one yet, but I feel like this one is probably the most emotional out of the franchise of Kung Fu Panda, because this one touched on so many different avenues of separation from family. This one talked about genocide, and talked about adoption, and talked about identity. It talked about just kind of loving yourself. This movie hit a lot of those avenues, but we're gonna walk through this movie together. So for people that have not watched the movie, give it a watch, and then come back here, or do this: listen to us talk about it, get our commentary on it, and then go watch the movie for yourself and tell us what you think. So I'm gonna start you off like this. The movie starts off with the world. And we're in ancient China. Whoa.
Sound effect. I'm mentally wheezing.
We're in ancient China, and we are in the city of Gongmen City. And Gongmen City is ruled by peacocks. And peacocks were the inventors and the innovators of fireworks. In this city in Gongmen City, where it is ruled by peacocks, we are also introduced to a family, and in this family, they have a son by the name of Lord Shen. And Lord Shen found a devious way to use fireworks. He used fireworks in an evil way. So everyone knows fireworks for the pretty colors and the lights and how the artwork can be with them. Lord Shen found a more explosivo way to use these fireworks. Now, just between you and me, you already know how, like, you know, there's something good out there in the world. Someone always has to find a twist on it, and they got to turn a devious twist on something. How does that make you feel? Just hearing, like, the initial creation of fireworks was for art, and then one dude, Lord Shen, turns it into a devious thing.
I know someone like that. Well, I don't know him. I don't want to know him. But I grew up in a church, mm-hmm. So I gotta go there. let me bring in some black church a little bit. The most prettiest angel that God created. He was a musician.
Talk about it.
But he wanted to be like God, and his name was Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
And God casted him out of heaven because he wanted to use his power for evil. He wanted to be like God. So this whole movie, everything that you said, I got it, but I always look at things from a spiritual standpoint as well. And I got a lot of spiritual messages out of it because a lot of movies, like, people don't realize that they're watching, I don't want to say religion, but spiritual things. And let's say if I, like, one day, you know, I want to make a movie and I want to make people think, like, is this a religious movie or not? I'm like, no, everything that you watch is a religious movie if you want to go there. And you really could get a lot of that out of Kung Fu Panda, which is crazy because it's like a hidden movie, but yeah.
Yeah, I think you hit on a lot of good points with that because in the movie, Lord Shen does kind of consider himself as a god that he wants to rule over everything. And it's like, he's mm-hmm. like, I innovated this thing that was given to us. I am a god. You should worship me. So that is a good point that you make. Just moving on from Lord Shen a little bit, his parents talked to a soothsayer because they sensed a level of torment and evil in him. And the soothsayer predicted his future in that his future, a warrior of black and white, will be his undoing. And in the process, Lord Shen did hear this proclamation. He did hear this prophecy. Unfortunately, Lord Shen, at that time, he gained an alliance with wolves, with an army of wolves, and he performed genocide against the closest thing he saw to black and white, which were pandas. I want to say what it made me think of, but there's so much.
We can go there.
Can we be for real about it?
We can't.
It makes me think of American history a little bit and how, unfortunately, most of the Native American tribes, there was genocide performed against them. It makes me think of, like, if we go a little bit more in the past, it makes me think of African-American people and how it was how slavery was a thing and how it was like acts performed against them. It makes me think of LGBT people, how in a way, a form of genocide was performed against them. Like, people were like murdering people in the streets and everyone would turn a blind eye to it because they'd be like, yep, this is a thing. So it kind of makes me think of those three different examples of genocide. Charlotte, what about you? What do you think?
The Holocaust. I don't even like saying the word. I don't even want to say the H word. I don't even want to say the leader of that time. I don't like saying those words, but that's what I thought about.
Yeah. I will say, like, you bring up a really good point. I didn't even think of that. I want to say just recently with, a year ago, we were talking about Ukraine and acts with Ukraine, it's so much that you can go off of. Genocide is an unfortunate thing in history where people perform it because they think that they have this godly right to want to take over and they want to be in control of someone else. I call it the crab barrel. I call it the crabs in a pot kind of way. And the reason why I call it crabs in a pot is because when you steaming crabs, see, look, we from Baltimore. We from Maryland. So I'm just going to tell you this. We from Maryland. When you put crabs in the pot, you know what the crabs are doing in that pot? They're stepping over each other to get from the bottom of the pot because the bottom of the pot is hot. They're not trying to get boiled. They ain't trying to get steamed. So they're stepping on top of each other to get to the top. And that's what a lot of people tend to do. They want to step over someone else to get to the top. They want to be in charge of someone.
I'm sorry, that's not funny. I was talking about something really serious. And I've noticed that before with crabs, but you saying it like that, that's awful.
It's unfortunate, but like that's the only analogy I can really think of right now. It's like people stepping over each other to want to get to the top. It's like you want to survive, so you got to step on someone else to survive.
Yeah, and there's a movie, I don't know if you heard. You ever heard of Hotel Rwanda?
Yeah, I have heard of it.
I don't know how many times I've had to watch that in school, but it's like that. You had like the I don't want to say it, the Tutsis and the Hutus or something like that. And one group, they was considered more superior than the other because of like the government, and like it was like a whole like genocide with that or whatever back in the 90s or something. And Don Cheadle is in that movie if y'all want to watch that. I'm tired of watching it. It's depressing. And like I remember, there was a scene in a movie where the UN came to save everybody who wasn't considered a part of Rwanda, and the hotel owner, he's like, "What about me? Like, what about the rest of the people in here? What y'all doing?" They just left him. So if you wasn't white or from another a first world country, you were stuck. That movie was very depressing.
It's unfortunate that like that's a thing, and it's unfortunate people even had the thought process or the idea to go along with certain acts like that. But just moving forward a little bit, because that can be a deeper conversation. Just moving forward a little bit. We move like from talking about Lord Shen, and we move into finding out where Po is in his life, and we go to the Jade Palace where Po is enjoying life with the Furious Five, but then he is warned by his master, Master Shifu, that he has not achieved inner peace yet. So Po walks up and he sees Master Shifu guiding a raindrop of water from the sky, and he's kind of moving it around his body, and then he lays it graciously, ever so gently, delicately, that drop of water onto a leaf. And when Po asked him how he had done that, he mentions inner peace. And when Po asked him how did he find inner peace, Shifu kind of says humorously, he's like, "I found inner peace by accepting the fact that you're the dragon warrior and not Tigress." So it's a good reference to the first movie, but I thought it was very interesting that this act of guiding a raindrop of water is going to be the crutch or the engine to kind of get us to understand when someone achieves inner peace, they can perform this act.
It's kind of like you're guiding your, from what I'm getting from it, guiding your problems through yourself to get it out. Like, take it in. Breathe out.
Yeah.
Let it go.
I guess, in a way, like, let it flow. Like a body of water, let it flow.
What is that? Let it flow. What is that from? It's from a Disney movie. Hold on. Oh. Let it flow. Let it show. Something.
Okay, so.
Not Frozen.
So I'm thinking of two movies. I'm thinking that you're singing Let It Go from Frozen. or you're singing the little song that Rapunzel sang in Tangle. Flower, let it glow.
Yes, yes, that, and Descendants. Not Descendants. No. Disenchanted. Because the lady that plays Elsa, she has a song in that. I don't want to try to sing it. I'm going to sound a mess. Love Power. That song and a song from Rapunzel.
Idina Menzel is an amazing singer. Just ridiculous.
She is. Love her. She's a queen.
She very much so is a queen. Well, we move forward from Poe wanting to guide the water, wanting to guide this raindrop into there is turmoil in the city. There's trouble going on within the city of ancient. What's the best way to call it? Poe and the Fierce Five, they go into the city and they're going to stop this turmoil, this drama that's going on within it, and they find a pack of wolves. They find an army of wolves raiding the city. But as Poe and the Fierce Five are going to stop this pack of wolves, one of them drops a shoulder, and Poe sees a symbol that he does not recognize. But he unconsciously recognizes, and Poe stops in his tracks, and then he is clocked with, I want to say, a club. It was like a club with nails in it. But Poe is then clocked with like a club against the side of his head. The Fierce Five go to check on him, and they ask him, what happened? Why did you stop? And he's like, I don't know, but I remember this symbol from somewhere. So when he does this, when he thinks of this symbol and he remembers himself in this, I want to say, box of radishes, it makes me think of like you unconsciously take things out of your brain, or you put things that are traumatic, you put them in a back door in the back of your brain because you don't want to experience these things, you don't want to see these things, or it's so hurtful that you can't bear it anymore. Like, what about you? How do you feel about that, Charlo?
I think you're right about that. Or we don't realize that we have like certain traumas. I forgot what it's called, but I met this lady who was telling me about it. It's like a person who helps you figure out like what happened in like your past or past life. There's another story where this kid, he was talking to, like, he was reincarnated, and like, it's a true story. Like, he was talking about how, he was this man, I think he was like a construction worker, and like fell somehow and died. And then when his mom or whoever looked it up, like, it was true. So it could be something like that, or it could, or some people just have PTSD so bad that they don't, they just forget, and then that spark is just like, whoa.
Yeah. It's interesting because it's one of those things, like you were saying, like trauma, the slightest thing can just trigger it, and you don't even realize that it's triggering you. Sometimes things when you're a baby, you don't remember those things, but it happens.
There was a girl when I was in, let me see, it was either my sophomore spring semester, I think it was. I just remember I was a sophomore in college, whatever. And I took Women in Perspective. That's the first women's studies class I took. But then the second one I took was International Women in Perspective. And we were talking about female mutilation. And this girl passed out when we were talking about it. We were just like going, like, what's going on? We had to shut down class for the day. We didn't understand what's going on because it was a mess. We had to call 911 and everything. She passed out. So then my professor was like, the next class period or whatever have you, was like, are you okay? Like, do you need to step out? We're about to talk about this. And the girl's like, yeah, I'm good. Then we get to talking about it, and one of my classmates was like, oh my gosh, she's going down again. And like, we stopped talking about it, and like, someone helped her help her get up or whatever, and like, she sat up or whatever. And my professor was like, if you can't handle talking about this, you need to step out of the room. Because she really was like, I don't know what happened to her, but as soon as we talked about it, she went like, and like, just went down. I don't know what happened to her. I don't know if that actually happened to her, because it's more like a third world country thing. We don't really do that in first world countries. It's a dumb practice. God forgive me. I'm sorry if that's your practice. It's a dumb practice, but like, it's nothing like what they do to, like, you know, it's not like how to do for boys with the circumcision. Like, that's healthy, like, it's for health, but the female version is just really no point in it. So I'm sure it's traumatizing.
I guess, like, just moving forward a little bit, when we talk about these traumatizing things, just to put a bow on that part, if anyone's feeling anything traumatizing, it's important to try to seek help in a certain way. Like, it's important to try to seek help. It's important to, if you are feeling these things and you want to talk about it with someone, talk about it with someone you trust. Don't talk about it with random people, because you never know who's really out there. Who's out there, like, who's there for a reason, who's there for pleasing. So who's there to actually please themselves by getting joy off of your pity and joy off of your hurt and your pain, and who's there for a reason to be there for, to nourish you, to be there for your, what's for, yeah, your nourishment. Like, so it's good to figure out who those people are, to sniff those people out, but also, like, if you need help, there are things out there, like BetterHelp. There's things out there, like, just therapy through, like, your doctors or your insurance. There's ways to, like, that you could find help. More ways than one. So just putting a bow on that part, if anyone is feeling anything like that, there's something out there for you. And I think that's the best way I can put it.
Sometimes you can't even talk to family about certain stuff, honestly.
Yeah. I ain't gonna lie. I can't talk about things with my family sometimes either, because either we can't take anything serious, or,
and it gets dismissed.
Yep, it gets dismissed, or, like, it comes off as a joke. Like, people start joking.
Yeah,
or it gets ignored, because certain some older family members, especially in Black families, like, older family members, they're like, whatever happens in the house stays in the house. We don't talk about this anymore. We keep it moving.
It's not healthy.
It's not healthy. So it's important. Now, look, nowadays we are in an age where we talk about these issues. We talk about if things are bothering us. So let's try to keep that going. Let's try to keep that going. Let's talk about our issues, because there's a lot going on that people don't talk about that we would like to talk about, so we can heal and move forward. Speaking about healing and moving forward, Poe, after he sees this symbol that one of these wolves are wearing, he goes to his father. He talks to his father about this symbol. And at this time, his father admits to him that he was adopted. Now, I will say this as well. In the last time we talked about this, I had mentioned that Poe was adopted in the last podcast that we did for Kung Fu Panda. So I would like to retract my statement in that one. Poe did not find out he was adopted then. He found out that the secret ingredient was himself in that movie. This was the movie that he finds out he is adopted, which kind of threw me off. He was very confused. He was like, I knew it. And then Mr. Ping's like, you knew? He's like, well, I'm a panda. You're a bird.
Like off of SpongeBob, Mr. Krabs and Pearl.
I think that's the funny part. It's like, he's like, I knew. And I think he was so confused that he knew. He was like, well, how did you know? He was like,
I'm big. I'm a big panda. You're a little baby, a little tiny baby duck. Like,
it's like, it's not rocket science.
Right.
Well, I thought that was interesting that Poe found out that, well, Mr. Ping admitted it. And I think Mr. Ping's concern at that time was, do you think any differently of me? Because I still love you as though you're my son. Like, do you think of me any different? Do you see me any different? And I think at that time, in Poe's head, he wanted answers more than to reassure Mr. Ping. But he still was attempting to reassure him in certain ways. So I think that's an interesting topic or dynamic to have right there. It's like, once someone finds out that they were adopted, the actions that they would take, the things that they would do. And the main question that they would ask is why? Like, what happened to me? Why was I given up? Like, that's the first question that I would assume someone would have, would be that. And I would say the parent in that situation would want to give those answers, or they would be like, do you still love me even though I'm not your biological parent? Do you still feel the same about me? So that was just an interesting interaction that Poe and Mr. Ping had right there. That interaction leads over into Shin is continuing to raid through Gongman City and through China. Shin actually murders one of the masters of Kung Fu. And in the process of him murdering a master of Kung Fu, it leads into him learning more about his prophecy. Shin wants to change his prophecy that the soothsayer said to him. And the funny part is, this soothsayer is following Shin. She's following
him. Two of them stayed alive, though. Like, two of the little Kung Fu warriors were still alive.
Yes. Yes, they did. Only one passed along. Two of the warriors did stay alive.
I totally forgot about that.
But I found it interesting that he kept this soothsayer for the entire story. And he kept asking her, does my prophecy change? Does this change? Am I going to be a ruler? Almost as though he wanted her to reassure and to prove her wrong that he can change the future. He can change his prophecy.
Right.
So I thought that was really interesting that he was doing that. And she kept telling him, this does not change your prophecy. But she kept telling him, it was like, a warrior of black and white is going to be your undoing. And he was just not believing it until he saw the panda in action. He saw Poe taking these wolves left and right, knocking them down, knocking them out. And then as he does that, it kind of leads into Poe. When Poe interacts with Shin, like, it kind of, what's the best way to describe it? Poe, when he looks at Shin, he's like, he doesn't even think anything of Shin. He's like, you're a bad guy. I'm a good guy. I'm going to take you out. And Shin is like, do you not know who I am? Do you not know what I did? Almost as though he was proud of it.
I totally agree with that. That part was making me mad. Not actually mad. But in my head, I'm like, Poe, hit him. He killed your mom. He killed your mom. Kill him.
I was just thinking, I'm like, Poe doesn't have any type of anger towards Shin. I felt no anger.
He never did.
It was just, for him, I think it was more confusion.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think that's a part of his process. Like, Poe was just trying to figure out, he's like, how do you know what happened to me? What do you know? Like, Poe was looking for answers at that point, where he's like, I just found out I'm adopted. I want answers. You have answers. What happened to me? And once Poe is starting to find out these things, and he's going to save these other masters that were kidnapped along with the master that was murdered. He went to go save Master Croc and Master Ox, and both of those masters were told, if you try to escape or if you try to stop me, I'm going to, like, destroy everything you love. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, these people lost their spirit, and they're telling Poe to give up. Lose your spirit as well. Give up. I thought that was interesting that people Poe looked up to were telling him, you give up too. And he was just fighting them. He was saying, like, no, I can't give up. I can't give up. I need to find answers. I need to find this. I need to find that. Still have hope. I thought it was interesting that his heroes that he looked up to were telling him something he did not want to hear nor needed to hear. Have you ever been in a situation like that where someone you looked up to, or just someone that you thought was amazeballs, just said something you didn't want to hear? Even though you knew it wasn't right, but it was just something you didn't want to hear?
Yes, I'm not gonna say who that person is because they're very close. But I looked up to this person a lot, especially as a kid, that I wrote a paper on this person. Again, they're really close in, so I can't say yeah. who it is. And we just had a lot of like disagreements and fights or whatever, and it made me look at the person differently because I'm like, you're supposed to be my woot 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 woot, and you're not who I saw you as a kid. You're still that person to me, but you're not what I saw as a kid. And that's why a lot of times I miss being a kid, because we're so ignorant and oblivious to so many things. Yeah, I just felt disappointment. Like, and I know I probably shouldn't have reacted in certain ways, but it's hard because it's like, okay, I'm a human too, and you keep wanting me to just react the same way, like really mellow and chill and just suck it up and like, okay. But people fail to realize, no matter how old you are, we're all human at the end of the day. If you take away the roles, we're humans at the end of the day. Take away the age, we're still humans. It shouldn't matter age, rank, serial number, role. And then there was something that they said in our argument one time, and they just never apologized for it. They don't really apologize. They kind of just, you know, let it was the past, like, let it go. But, like, they never apologized for what they said. And what they said was really terrible. And I doubt they remember that they even said it, because they would probably swear up and down they didn't say it, but they did say it. Because when I'm angry, I don't say things to hurt you. I say how you're pissing me off and how you're getting on my nerves and what you should be doing. I don't say things to insult you. And that person, who is somebody that I used to look up to as a kid, like, says insulting things when we, like, get in arguments. And it's been good. It's been good for the past. I'm keeping it that way. I had a moment, but I'm keeping it together.
I would say, I feel as though I'm the same way. I'm going to be vague as well, just out of just protection for everyone. Just everyone. Same type of situation where it was something where it was like, I knew what was right and wrong based off of everything that I was taught, everything that I knew, just conscience, body, spirit, everything. But everything that was being done was not in the way that I knew, or the ways that I was taught, the way I grew up. Mm-hmm. So when I brought attention to this, when I brought attention to it, I was met with, like, it being kind of thrown back in my face.
Yep.
And there's, and of course, like, I'm like, same situation as you. There's never been no reconciled. There's never been no, there's never been any type of, let's talk about it, let's build a bridge and get over it. It was literally cry me a river, build a bridge and get over it.
Mm-hmm.
It was literally just go about your business. Mm-hmm. Now, everything's kind of peaches and creams within the past couple of years, but still, right. There's something that kind of sits in you. They're saying, like, something that someone that I like, I'm a kid and I'm staring up at you. It's like, I look up at you. It's like, someone you see in that kind of light kind of just does something that you don't necessarily agree with, or you know it isn't right, and it's like, you know what's right, but mm-hmm. you're met with that backlash. So in that situation, it's like, what do you stick with your morals, or do you just go off of what they say?
Right. It's hard.
It is. It's something to think about, and we want to talk after this. We got deep. We want to talk after this. And Kung Fu Panda's making us get deep.
And it's a kids movie.
This is a kids movie.
Right.
The kids movie made us get deep. So, as we move on, we go back to Poe and how Poe meets Shin for the first time. And when Poe meets Shin, Shin does bring up the genocide to Poe. And he's like, I did this to you. I did that to you. Almost taking joy in it.
And he's like, your parents don't love you.
That's exactly
what it was. And that was his insecurity.
Yeah. I think that's what kind of got me, was like the projection
of
Shin was like, he was projecting onto Poe. He was like,
the trauma dump.
Didn't love you. They were skitting. He's like, they didn't like you. But like, yeah, he was trauma dumping on him. Exactly. Like you had said. So it was just, that was being played out. And then Poe was kind of saved by the Furious Five as a big kerfuffle happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's saved by the Furious Five. Poe attempts to go back to try to talk to Shin to figure out where he came from. How does he know his parents? But Tigress is constantly moving Poe out of the way. She's constantly pushing him back and saying, you don't go. We will go. We'll handle this. And she's asking him, why is it so serious to you? Why is it so important to you that you need to see this man? Why, like, what is driving you? What is doing this? And Poe finally opens the cap on the bottle. He finally says what it is, and he says that this, he knows what happened to my parents. He knows what happened to my mom. And when this is kind of opened up, everyone gets quiet. Like, all the Furious Five is quiet, and everyone's like, oh, this is what's happening. And once Poe finally lets his emotions loose, Tigress, it looks like she's going to attack him, but she didn't attack him with her fist. She attacked him with a hug. This is, I think I started getting, I was getting emotional throughout the movie. This was kind of like an emotional moment, because Tiger says something along the lines of, hardcore can feel. Because Poe knows Tigress as this hardcore character. She doesn't feel emotions. She doesn't cry. She doesn't, like, she knows how to divvy up business and personal. And at this moment, when she finally lets down her guard and she hugs Poe, I think that's a moment that kind of, the feelings start to come in. For you, when you feel anything with high emotion, and like, what's something you would like for someone to do for you? What, like, do you feel as though Tigress did something right in this moment as well?
Yeah, I think so, because she was being hard on him, but he was trying not to, like, tell it, because he wanted to let all his business out there, because he was still confused about it. But I thought it was sweet that she did that. For me, I don't know. I like hugs. Depends on who it's from, I guess. Sometimes I don't want to be touched at all. Just leave me alone. Let me go in the corner. Leave me alone. But no, Poe really needed that.
Yeah, I think I'm the same way. Of sometimes when it feels constraining, someone attempting to hug you, it's like I don't need that right now. Let me just move on about my business. I think the last time, one of the last few times I can remember, I was high emotion. Someone that was on the podcast before, Denise, you know her as Runke.
Oh my God, love her. Sorry, I love her.
You're fine. This was when we were at the radio station together. I got out of a class. I was high strung, and I walk into the radio station, and she's in there, and she's talking to me, and she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. And then she grabbed my arm, like, she grabbed my hand, and she's like, Kobe, are you okay? Because she knew I wasn't. I broke down in tears. I'm like, I'm stressed. I'm not okay. It's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave me probably one of the warmest, kindest hugs that I needed at that time. I didn't even know I needed that hug then. Mm-hmm. I'm bawling my eyes out. I was like, I didn't even realize I needed that hug.
That's how I go. It'd be like that sometimes. Something like that actually happened to me on Saturday. I was at a prayer breakfast. I can't really go into detail about what happened, but it was something that shocked me. And I was just like, what? Like, and I didn't know that I needed that, what happened. I didn't know I needed it. But yeah. Because I had just talked to my mom about something the previous day, about like giving up on something, basically. Like, I was just like, I'm just done. And then Saturday came and it was a good time. But I'm not gonna lie, I'm not gonna sit here and say like I still don't feel it though. I do. But it's not as bad as it was, but I still feel what I was feeling before Saturday happened.
Yeah. Well, are you okay now?
I'm just gonna sigh. That's it.
Well, I'll give you a virtual hug.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I'm always patting people's backs when they hug me, because for me, I guess hugs are, depending on who I'm hugging, it can be awkward, so I just pat their back like, oh, thank you.
You do like a little side hug. It's like, they're there.
Like one time, God forgive me, someone that I know, they ranted to me, and when certain people rant to me, I can like help in a way, but what they were talking about threw me off, and I'm terrible. I was inside trying not to laugh because it wasn't funny to them. But to me, it was funny because it really wasn't that serious. It really wasn't. And I was just like, Charmaine. And I'm trying to figure out what to say to her because I'm like, I'm trying to tell her, calm down. It's not that serious. But I couldn't do that because it wasn't nice. It wasn't nice.
No, I know what you mean. Sometimes you'd be think like someone vents to you and you'd be thinking it's a shallow pond and they think it's the ocean.
Yeah. And I probably do the same thing. Like I coach myself all the time. My subconscious is always coaching me, like all the time.
So yeah, that's something right there. It's I'm gonna keep the story moving a little bit as well. But after Tigress gave Poe that hug, you would think that she would let him go into battle. She kind of pushes him back and she's like, no, you stay behind. Because this, like, you're too attached. You're too emotional. It's gonna mess up your mind. You gotta clear your head. You have to stay here because he wants you. We'll handle this. At that time, Poe kind of starts to look internally. And when he starts to look internally, this is when he starts to accept what happened to him. He starts to accept everything that happened in his past. And this is when he starts to maneuver with his inner peace. And he starts to move this, like he starts moving, like he's accepting what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now we move over, like Shin is bulldozing through China at this point. Like, he is knocking things out. He's knocking people over. The Furious Five, Master Croc, and Master Ox, and Shifu are all... Master Croc and Master Ox and Shifu, they're all knocking down these wolves. They're trying to take everyone out. Shin's henchmen are knocking these people down, though. And then all you see in the distance, a big panda. You see a big panda on a roof, and he's
trying. I've never seen a big boy get on a roof. Sorry, I had to say never. That TikTok, I mean, that Instagram video. I never seen a big panda get on a roof. I never seen the sight. I love that song. Big boy get on a roof. Sorry.
At that time, you see Poe is trash talking Shin. He can't hear him. But Poe then joins the battle. As Poe joins the battle, Shifu sneaks across, and Shifu's helping out as well. Master Croc, Master Ox, they done gained some type of confidence from Poe talking to them earlier. The Furious Five everyone's involved now. You got the whole squad is there. The whole squad is ready to
squad! Zoom, zoom! Sorry. Where do you want to go?
Like, the whole squad is there, everyone's fighting, and then Shin yells out to his head henchman, fire the cannon, and the henchman is like, that's going to attack our men too. Shin's like, I don't care, fire the cannon. And once the wolf says no, Shin done killed the wolf. He done killed the head henchman. Threw a blade right at his jugular, and then he lit it himself. After Shin lights it himself, he blows everybody up, and everyone is in the water.
But they ain't dead, though. They ain't dead.
They ain't go up yonder yet. Everyone is in the water, and then Poe gets up. Poe is on, he's on some type of surface, and he gets up. And
surfboard. This is, sorry.
That was funny. When Poe gets on the surface, it starts to rain, and then all you see is he's doing the same movements and gestures that Shifu was doing earlier.
Rain down on me, the little letting fall.
Melodies from heaven.
That gospel song, it had to go that hard. It really did.
Oh, gosh.
What's his name? Oh, my God. Kurt Franklin was in his bag when he made that. He was.
He was. What's the other one that I like? It's the one that has no ending. Yes, Lord.
Oh, my God.
Pastor, my dad.
I think that's by Kurt. Not Kirk. Kurt something, I think.
I think so.
We will pray for the first of our days. Yes.
You think it's over? It's like, yes. And everyone's like, all right now. Come on.
Right.
Like,
wrap this up.
No. The fish fry is about to get cold down there at the church. Can I go?
Oh, God.
You see Poe doing these movements and these gestures, and he's moving the raindrop, and the soothsayer just reminded him to let go and just accept what happened, and it's like let go, it's okay, everything's okay, you have to make peace with what happened. And Poe is letting this raindrop just cascade throughout his body, and then he guides the raindrop into the water. At that point, Shin lights another cannon and wants to shoot it at Poe, and says, how many times do I have to kill this panda? You can't kill him. Because Shin he fires his cannon at Poe. Poe guides the firework, the cannon, and he throws it into the ether. He said, nope. And then another one comes. Nope.
He says, shot put javelin hammer throw.
Apparently what he said. He said, no. No.
Yeet.
No.
Yeet.
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 It's like every attempt Shin tried did not work, because Poe reached his inner peace where he accepted what happened to him. And then next thing you see is Shin throws one more cannon at Poe, and Poe catches it, spins in a circle. And that circle moves, it moves so fast.
Helicopter, helicopter.
Helicopter.
That video is funny, I'm sorry.
It's been so fast that Poe makes a yin and yang symbol just from him spinning. And then he stops spinning, and then he throws the cannon back at him. And Charlo, what does he say?
Skidoosh.
Skadoosh! He throws it back at Shin. And when he throws it back at Shin, it goes straight back into the cannon, and it explodes the entire ship Shin is on. And you see it from three different angles. It's like, da-dum, da-dum, da-dum. It's exploded. And then Shin, he said, I've taken everything from you. I've taken your parents from you. I've taken everything from you. Yes.
That part, I was about to cry. Because, again, spiritual standpoint, I'm like, that's how the devil would be. Like, I took this from you, I took that from you, and this, that, and the third, and you still happy? But, yep, because God.
And I think that's the point where you were talking to me, like, you had texted me, you was like, you had the spiritual in the religious relations to the story. Like, if you want to dive into that a little bit.
As you guys probably can tell, I come from a spiritual Christian background. I always thought, well, Judaism / Christian, because I do believe in, like, the Judaism faith, but also I believe in the Christianity faith, because they're basically I don't want to say that same thing, but if you are Christian, you believe in Jewish practice, whatever. But, so I just look at things from a spiritual standpoint. Every story has good and evil in it, like the Bible does. Every story is the Bible, basically. And there have been moments where, oh, Job in the Bible, God allowed the devil to go after Job to test his faith. He's like, I took this from you. I took that from you. Even his wife was like, just curse God and die. Like, why would you say that? First of all, and like, Job still had faith in God, and God gave him everything back, but even more, whatever, you know. But a lot of stuff, like, a lot of these movies have spiritual meaning, even down to probably horror stuff. I don't like horror. But based off what my aunt and grandma have said, it's spiritual stuff in those as well. I don't watch them. I don't like horror. So,
yeah. I said, thank you for, like, kind of explaining that a little bit as well. Because I think when you texted me the other day and you had said you had watched it and how it had those spiritual and religious undertones in the story, I was like, I'm interested. Like, explain a little bit. And when you explained it, I was like, I didn't think of it that way at first, but it made sense. Like, it made a lot of sense once you explained it.
One of them writers, they go to church. They go to church. One of them writers, they go to church. Because I was like, that exact part. He was like, I took this from you. I was like, borderline time after. I was on the phone with my boyfriend, and I didn't want him to be like, Charmaine, what's wrong? Because he'd be like, what's wrong? I'm like, I didn't want to do nothing.
I think at that point, I was on the brink already, because I'm listening to it alone without even looking at the story as well. You're like, wow. It's like this. He really was like, I took your parents from you. I took your livelihood from you. I took I took your race from you.
So he thought.
Like, he's like, I took everything from you, and you still beat me. You still have peace. How can you have peace after everything I've done to you? And he's like, I've accepted everything that's happened. I'm happy with who I am. I'm happy with my identity. And that, I think that was the other part. It was like, Poe was searching for his identity this entire movie, and he found it through that. But after, yes.
And that also ties in, because I know you wanted me to explain just a little bit more as well. That also, for those people who are Christian or whatever, or just spiritual people, that also ties into when Poe was like, I have peace. We find peace through God. We find peace through Jesus. So that's how we're able to move through life and figure out who we are, is through Christ anyway. So that's how I took it.
Yeah.
I'm a spiritual person. That's how I took it. I know someone else might take it another way. Yeah.
It's a good take though. It's a good take.
I would show the movie in church for the children, you know, because
in a way you could, and then you could explain it. You could explain it to the children in a way. As the story moves along as well, like, we detain Shin. Shin has been detained. And then Poe goes back into his father, Mr. Ping's noodle shop. And Poe reaffirms his identity to Mr. Ping. And Mr. Ping, he thought Poe wasn't going to love him anymore. He thought he didn't want anything to do with him anymore. He's like, I'm still your son. At that point.
Yes, I was like,
I'm about ready to bust a teardrop.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm going to cry.
At that point, a teardrop was about to come down.
Trickle, trickle.
Trickle, trickle. That point hit.
Especially the end, like, this the end? Yes. The end really was about to have me crying.
So this was the end of Poe's story,
but God, sorry.
We get a little a little Marvel end credit scene.
And
we go deep into the village through the forest over the river through the woods, the grandma's house. We go all the way through that. We go up a mountain, and after we go up to the mountain, we see another panda.
Pandas.
A panda is still living.
A few of them.
There's a whole lot of pandas. We're in a secret panda village. And come to find out, the secret panda village, the panda looks up. And he's like, huh? Almost like he's calling for Poe. He says, what's that?
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I was excited.
Go ahead.
He says, my son, he's still alive. And I was like,
I was no good at that point.
Yeah.
I said, you already played with my heartstrings. You're playing with my brain strings.
And that's how you know, like, them doing that, they're like, Kung Fu Panda 3.
At that point, you knew Kung Fu Panda 3 was coming. Everyone, that was the end of Kung Fu Panda 2. It went straight from
Ga-da-doom. Wait. So does that mean in Kung Fu Panda 4, I wonder, do the pandas help Poe fight? Because they helped him fight in the third... We're not there yet. Sorry. But do they help him fight in a fourth one?
There's only one word to find out.
Oh my gosh. That's funny.
Yeah, that was the end of the Kung Fu Panda story.
Two.
Kung Fu Panda 2. So we got through the first one. We got through the second one. And guess what? There's two more to go.
LOL.
But now that we ended the Kung Fu Panda 2 story, I have a different story for you. The MIV A-hole story of the day. Charmaine, are you ready?
I'm scared. Sight, go ahead.
This is titled, Would I Be the A-hole If I Messaged a Woman's Husband Screenshots of Her Saying She Hates His Kids?
I'm sorry, that's not funny. That lady said, forget them kids.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Let me read the story.
Go ahead.
Okay, here we go. Here's the story. On a small parenting Facebook group, a member made a post about hating her stepkids. She said they are the blight of her existence, and that if her husband were to get full custody of them, instead of every other weekend, she would leave because it already counts down the minutes until they are gone again.
Oh my god.
I found her husband. She has him listed on her Facebook.
Oh.
And I am debating sending him screenshots of her posting and commenting. I know, as a parent, I wouldn't want anyone like that around my kids. Mm-hmm. Would I be the a-hole if I reached out to him? Yo.
I would say yes, because she's posting in that group in confidence, and that's her way of escape. Like, that's her way to, vent. So I would say yes. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't say anything because then that's also going to cause turmoil in the marriage. So I wouldn't say anything.
Yeah.
I would leave it alone. I'm just like, ooh.
I'm finna end up mind the business that pays you.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that is not your business. The most you could do in that situation is talk to her, attempt to get her to think differently, But at the same time, she should have knew what she was getting herself into when she was dealing with that with her new husband and he got them kids.
Some people just be wanting to get married and say they got somebody, so.
That's true as well. Mm. On the one end, I'm like, you know what? I feel, I'm not even going to say the one end. Yes, you would be an a-hole if you did text that.
Yeah.
Because it ain't your business.
Yeah.
That's, I know you're a parent and you feel something, you feel very strongly about that. That's not your business to be telling somebody else what someone is saying.
And it's going to start drama.
Because it's like, he said, she said, and he's going to be looking at you funny. He's like, who are you?
Yep.
He's getting screenshots. That's just going to irritate him. It's going to irritate her. She ain't going to know who to trust. She ain't going to know who to talk to. She definitely going to be saying some wild stuff anyway. Like, so it's like, let her vent. Let her cook.
Let her cook.
Shiloh, what you thinking?
The same thing. Just leave it alone. Mind your business. If you want to talk to her, which I don't recommend either, you could be like, hey, maybe you can talk to somebody to get some help. Still, just mind your business, because that's why she's going to the group chat anyway, for, you know, just to talk to somebody else who might be able to understand.
What's the saying? Ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is bliss. It's free to be in your own business. It don't cost nothing to not say anything.
Exactly.
I know where she's coming from, because I know where her heart is. Leave it alone.
Exactly. Leave it be. Mind yours. Don't worry about nothing. Just be like, it's just one of those posts where you should just look at it, chuckle if you think it's funny. I think it's hilarious, because I'm just mean. I think it's hilarious, because that's real. Kids can be a pain. They really can. They can be very, very, very aggravating, so.
And here's the other part. She probably thinking the same stuff about her own kids.
Exactly. Other people's kids are annoying. That's why I already told my cousin. I said, I don't want a bunch of kids because I don't want a bunch of people in my house. Simple.
But also, you need to vent to somebody.
Yeah.
You need somebody to understand.
Exactly.
Let me tell you about this little booger eater that I just dealt with. This little booger eater decided to lick his finger. He decided to pick his nose, lick his finger, then touch me. Don't touch me. I'm sorry. Kids have germs. Kids do things that you would not normally do. But at the same time, you were a kid. The only reason why you don't do those things anymore is because someone reprimanded you and someone told you not to do those things anymore as an adult. And you learned from your mistakes as a children.
What?
Point blank period. We both said it. Mind the business that pay you, woman. Do not get in their business. That's their marital stuff. They will jump that bridge when they get to it.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll come up. It'll come up in their marriage eventually, because she's going to have a breaking point.
It's going to come up, but it don't need to come up from you sending screenshots, and then it's going to cause them issues. Yeah. It's going to come up, just not as quickly as you want it to.
Yep.
Okay?
And she might not ever see it. She might not even see the exit. It's none of her business. Are you married?
Is you married?
That's a real question. Are you married?
That's a good question.
That's a realty. Are you married?
That's a good question. I don't know if she is or not. That's a good question. We just know she got kids. But y'all?
Yeah.
Tell us what you think about this Am I the A-hole post. Tell us what you think, because we want to know. I want y'all to go to our Instagram account, BeForRealPod, that is BE4REELPOD, and let us know what you think about this post along with other posts that we have. Y'all, we be talking about Am I the A-hole all the time, because we want to know. These stories are wild. We want to know who's in the wrong, who's in the right. Are we right with the answers we pick? Are we wrong? Y'all tell us what y'all think, because we are curious. We want to know. But like we said, y'all, this is the end of this episode. we know we didn't mention it at the beginning of the episode, but Nani, who y'all have seen on the past couple episodes, she is no longer going to be a permanent host of the Beef Girl podcast. It is bittersweet. We hate to see her go, but there's no bad blood. There's no ill will. She is pursuing another endeavor that we are so happy for her for. That does not mean she ain't going to be on here another time. She will be here another time. But with that being said as well, there we do have a treat for y'all coming.
Oh God, I'm gonna start laughing as soon as I see it. I'm gonna start laughing.
Can I just say, the treat that's coming gives me so much joy.
As soon as we see him,
the treat, he gives me so much joy. That's all I have to say.
I didn't mean to call him an it. I wasn't trying to say what that was.
Yeah. Yeah, let's just say we have someone coming the next episode of the Beef Real podcast, and I'm extremely excited because I'm just going to be laughing the whole time.
Oh, God. The Eddie Murphy laugh is going to come out, y'all.
You heard it once, you'll hear it again. But all right, y'all, that's the end of the podcast. Thank you all for listening. Like I said beforehand, follow us on Instagram. Let us know what you think of this podcast along with so many others. I'm going to give a shout out to this podcast because you will hear me on their next episode. Y'all, listen to Hey Girlfriend TM because you'll hear me on a new episode of Hey Girlfriend very, very soon. I will be with Charlie and AJ on their podcast really soon. They are an amazing podcast. Hilarious individuals. Y'all, check them out. You'll enjoy them. But that is in this episode. Charlo, you already know what to do because if you're going to be anything in life, you need to be what?
Be for real enough, mate.
Y'all heard it from the best. Y'all heard it from the illest. Y'all heard it from the PYT. If you're going to be for real enough, a fake. But y'all, that's the end. Thank you for getting the T with C and me on the Be For Real podcast. All right, y'all. Bye.
Bye.